Blog Talk Radio.
New direction.
protection, for I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy, for this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply, for times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Yahshua. Thank you, mighty Lord, mighty God. Mighty, mighty Jesus. Awesome God. Hallelujah. Awesome Jesus. Awesome Yeshua. Awesome Yahshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord Tower. This is your brother in Christ, Brother L.V. Zapata. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. What an awesome God we serve. I apologize. Thank you, Lord, for those that cannot hear me. Please refresh your computer or your audio. Praise you, Lord. And then you should be able to hear, hallelujah, the audio coming out. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, shalom, shalom. Those that are joining us at home through Skype, through Facebook, through your cell phone, through your computer, and the many ways people can hear through podcast. Amen. I believe it's Apple Podcast that people can hear the program also. There's just many ways people can hear the program. Not every way. Is registered, but most of all the way people can hear the program. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. I hope I am loud and clear. Thank you, Lord. I just noticed the microphone made a little noise, but it should be fine now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. We had a wonderful time in the Spanish program, my brother and sister. Shalom, Sister Doreen. Blessing to you and your family. Thank you, Lord. I hope Sister Consuelo can hear us now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, Sister Loretta. Brother Scott, Brother Strada, shalom. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you allow my brothers and sisters to log in tonight. In Jesus' name, we bind and rebuke all opposition of the enemy. In Jesus' name, Lord. Allow your people to log in, Lord, and listen tonight. Hallelujah. Speak to our life, Lord, according to our need, Lord Jesus. According to your will, your plan for our life, Lord. Prepare us, Lord, to go to heaven. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Yeshua. What an awesome God. I was sharing in Spanish a revelation I received this week, yesterday morning. Praise you, Yeshua. Saturday, Shalom, Sister Renee. It was so strange. I thought yesterday was Sunday. Shalom, Sister Luna. I was actually praying to God to go to the program on Saturday, thinking it was Sunday. It was just one of those weeks that you have that, praise you, Lord, you don't know the day. You have to look at the calendar, your phone. Hallelujah. It just, hallelujah, strange. Amen. But I was praying, and it was such a presence of God over my life. As I was praying with God, our here, my property, I was just talking to God, talking to the Lord. And the presence of God was all over me, where it's like being in heaven where there's no time, no watch, no calendar. In heaven, there's no watch. There's no calendar. In heaven, you don't know what year it is. totally, and that's how I was yesterday. And so in prayer, I was telling God that, you know, to use me in the program, to use me. Telling him things that, hallelujah, I was asking him. And it was, I was in Goshen, that presence, that I totally, totally forgot the day, the hour, everything. Again, it's just with God and the faith. And it's so wonderful. And then he was telling me things that I hope I'm able to remember and share today, which I believe he will. I believe he will. I asked him to use me, so praise the Lord. I believe what he was telling me. He was telling me things. He starts talking to you, and he begins to tell you things that are mind-blowing. You're like, what? With such a wisdom and power, it is just so incredible. You just want to remain there listening to the Lord. He was just talking to me, and I was just listening. And what he was telling me, I had never heard it, but it was so mighty. And I hope I can share some of that tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to go into the Word. I'm waiting for some of my brothers and sisters to join us tonight. Before we go into the Word, we usually do this. It's very important because once I begin to share what he revealed to me, amen, and anything else he wants me to say, hallelujah, I don't want people to miss it. Because some people come in a little late and say, oh, I missed what you said, Brother Elvie. I really wanted to hear. But everything is being recorded. That's why I ask people, when we began the program, is the audio fine? Can you hear me fine? Please let me know, because I know the importance of this message, my brother and sister. He gives us the message. We need to share what he say, because it's going to bless his people. Praise the Lord. It's only bless our life. We're being prepared to be taken to heaven. That is what is that all about. Amen. And like you, we're the same before God. We have this question, when, Lord? Thank you, Sister Luna. When are we going home, Lord? And he's not going to give us a day and hour, but we all want to know when. It's in our heart. It's in our spirit. It's in our being. We want to know when. How close are we? Okay? And in case you're wondering, there is nothing left for us to go home. Okay? There's nothing left. But I'm going to share this with you, which I'm going to remind you that I said this in the beginning. It was in the beginning of 2019. I believe it was in the beginning of 2019 I said this, because Jesus revealed this to me. Remember the time the Lord gave me the rapture experience, where the rapture began to happen in California first. And I was up here on north, which the hour totally different. And the sister contacted me in the revelation of the Lord and said, Brother Elvie, the rapture is happening. And I was so shaken about this phone call. Sister from California calls me on the phone and is telling me the rapture is happening, Brother Elvie, as we're speaking. People are disappearing. People are being changed and transformed. And she tells me, I can look at my brothers and sisters being changed and transformed right before my eyes, she says. And I said, sister, how can this be? I said to her, how can you be watching the rapture happening? It still haven't happened where I am yet. And I don't know if it's 8 or 12 hours different from California to North Carolina. I'm in the Eastern time. They're in the Western time. So the time is totally different, my brother and sister. But she's telling me that the rapture was happening there first. And I said, how can this be? Okay. And in that revelation of talking to her as she was telling me this, I immediately began to say to her, the rapture cannot happen yet. The rapture cannot happen yet. And when I looked at, the reason why the rapture cannot happen yet, I said to her, because the Lord said that we're going to have this community. The Lord taught this community we're going to have, okay? And this community here in North Carolina, where we're going to come and serve the Lord, okay, 5,000 people community at least. And so I said, the Lord made this promise to me. And that cannot happen. He gave me signs, the three signs. Remember the three signs?
And when I looked right in front of me, Jesus was standing. And he was looking at me straight to my eyes, smiling. Shalom, Brother Benjamin. Jesus was looking at me, smiling, and says, well done. He says, well, my servant, well done, my servant. You're waiting. Keep waiting upon my promise, he says to me. Okay? So my understanding, and I have spoken this with great men of God, he says, Brother Elvi, here's the thing. If God makes you this promise, okay, the promise needs to come first, because if he says before the rapture, then you have to see his promise before the rapture. In other words, it's like you're holding back the rapture, he says to me. And it sounds to me like I'm holding back the rapture because he made me this promise. Brother Elvi, that's how strong God's promise is. Again, and what did Jesus say in regard to the God's promises? I'm going to remind you of this tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want you to get mad at me and say, you're holding back the rapture, Brother Elvi. Praise the Lord. Okay? Because that's not what it's all about. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass, but not my word. Okay? Heaven and earth will pass, but not my word. In Matthew 24:35. Same Luke 13:31. Heaven and earth will pass, but not my word, shall pass away. Okay? And then Luke 21:33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not my word shall pass away. Okay? And passing, it's like having a family pass away, die, which means destroy. Heaven and earth will be destroyed, pass away, will be no more, but not my words. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Pray for better temperature, sister. Sister said that in Washington, D.C., temperature is going to be 111 tomorrow, 111. That 1-1 means judgment. In case you're wondering, it means judgment, 1-1-1. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass, but not my word, he says. Okay, and no matter what, my brother and sister, no matter what, if people don't believe Washington, okay, if people don't believe, they're still going to see his promise come to pass, okay? But it's better for us to be believing God, be in position of believing God. That's what God wants us to be in believing him, my brother and sister, trusting in him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. It's very important. We are standing with God because only those standing in the word will be kept by the words. See what I'm saying? Heaven and earth passes. His word will not pass. So if you are standing in the word, you will not pass. Okay? You will not pass. You will be kept by the word, by the promise. Everyone else for thousands of years were kept by God's promises. God will do the same to you and I if we are standing in the word. If we are standing in his promise, we are going to be kept by his promises. No matter what happened in heavens, no matter what happened on earth, you and I are protected by him. This is why, hallelujah, we stand on his promises. We stand on his words, my brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. His word, the truth, the word, which is the truth, is more powerful than everything. That's why the devil goes around, my brother and sister, lying to humanity, preaching lying on the four corners of the earth right now through every mean necessary to get people to believe the lie. Why? Because if you believe the truth is more powerful than everything. The truth will set you free, my brother and sister. The only way the devil can bound people is when people believe the lie. That's why they're bound in sin. They're bound in the lie. But when you believe the truth, when you believe the word and you exercise the word, you fast and pray and meditate on the word, you seek God every day, you repent your sin every day, you are being doers of the word. Doers of the word. Not just hearer of the word, but doer is what God wants you and I to be. My brother and sister, if you're not repenting daily, if you're not coming to Jesus, to God, every day, you're not being a doer of the word, just hearer of the word. In God, when you become a hearer and not a doer, you die spiritually. And God is not a God of the dead, but God of the living. My brother and sister, this is what's important, that we become sons and daughters of the living God. And the living word of God is in our lives daily. And the word as the blood cleanses us, my brother and sister. So when we hear the word every day as much as we can, it's cleaning our life. It is cleansing our life. If the things that are not of God, that are not pleasing to God, are being constantly removed from our lives, we're being cleansed by the word. And we are being made in the image of the sons of God, and the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Very important, my brother and sister, that we understand. Now, let me show you how holy God is and his throne is. Exodus 25, 20. And the cherubim to stretch forward their wing on high, covering the mercy seat where the wind, and their face should look at one to one another, till the mercy seat to the face of the cherubim shall be. Why is God setting it this way? Because when they were set in the throne of God, they cannot look unto anything but God who was in the middle of them, who is holy, holy, holy. And he is the one they want to look upon. The Bible said to us, for us, you and I, to set our eyes on Jesus, because he is holy, he is righteous, and he is pure. And when you and I set our eyes on Jesus, we are doing like those holy beings in heaven, holy cherubim, my brother and sister. They set their eyes on Jesus. They set their eyes on God, the Holy One of Israel. And by looking just to him, no lies, no deceit, no sin can come into their life, because their eyes are set on him. And he is pure, and he is holy. Holy. Holy is his name, my brothers and sisters. So as a great example on how for you and I to serve God, even the cherubims, these great holy beings of God, are made just to look upon God only. Our eyes, our lives, God has made us in the same fashion, form, where if we're only looking upon Jesus, my brother and sister, everything else goes well with our life. We are being changed. We're being transformed. We're being purified. The fire that he is going through our being, our soul, body, and spirit, and it's cleansing us, it's purifying us, and there's so much going in our life when our eyes only set upon Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Shalom, Sister Haley of the Heart. You need to understand how important it is, my brother and sister, to set your eyes only upon Jesus. The cherubim, hallelujah, they're the testimony, hallelujah. The mercy seat is there. And there's only one that can sit in that seat, and it's our Lord Jesus Christ, because we are saved by grace, by his mercy. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Notice how the mercy seat is there, cherubim on the left and the right, only focus on Jesus. When we are focused on Jesus, mercy, we inquire, we receive mercy from God. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, that old creation of God needs mercy. God needs to have mercy, my brother and sister. Hallelujah, because God can find fault in anybody, even in his angel, the word says. But we need mercy, and God is merciful. He's setting his throne, the mercy seat. In other words, that anyone that will come to him will receive mercy from him. Oh, I thank you, Father. What an awesome God we are. My brother and sister, we don't see Father as we see Jesus. But let me reveal to you the greater evangelist of all is Father. Remember what Jesus said about Father. No one comes to me unless my Father brings them. Father is the greater evangelist. He's down here touching the heart of men and women to turn themselves to Christ. Turn around to him and repent of your sin and trespasses, and I will forgive you through my Son. But Jesus said of the Father, no one comes to him lest the Father brings them. Oh, he's evangelizing. Father is the greater evangelist. People think when they think of God, he's sitting at his throne and he's not doing nothing. They're so wrong. Father God, every day is touching the heart of this humanity for them to turn to his Son, Jesus, for them to come to him through Christ, my brother and sister. That makes Father the great evangelist. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Matthew 16:19, and I will give unto thee the key of the kingdom of heaven, that whatsoever thou should bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou should loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I thank you, Jesus. My brother and sister, God has chosen you, hallelujah, to loose things on earth, hallelujah, through the spoken word of God, and where the God from heaven can, hallelujah, affirm or say amen to it. Affirm the word, my brother and sister. Confirm the word. God has already spoken the word. God is waiting for you to speak it. It was like my brother Raphael. Lord, look at Satan. It's across the table from me. Lord, rebuke him. And Jesus looked at him and I said, I have given my bride, my church authority to rebuke the devil. And he will flee, my brother and sister. But that authority is not being used. Yesterday morning, hallelujah, Saturday morning, I was taken into our future here on earth. I was with a group of brothers and sisters, thank you, Lord. It's like we had come down after we've been raptured departure to heaven. We had come down to earth to help some of the people on earth. And I came down, my brother and sister, like with 3 or 4 brothers and like 7 other sisters. My brother and sister, I believe we were all 13 together. We came back to the earth. We were down on the earth, my brother and sister. And I saw Lucifer. I saw Satan walking on the earth. My brother and sister, Satan was coming near us, and I said, Lucifer, to him. And he says, don't call me by that name. I am not that anymore, he says, when I call him Lucifer. Because he's not Lucifer, that's his real name. He said, don't call me by that name anymore. I am not that anymore, he says to me. And I said to Satan, and I say, Satan, why do you continue to ruin humanity? I said to him, what gain that you have to gain from ruining humanity? I said to him, my brother and sister. And he says, what does the Bible says about me? He says, in other words, that he is evil. And that's what he does, evil. But I asked him, what gain do you have by ruining people's life? I said to him. And one of the sisters that was with us says to me, Brother Elvie, why are you talking to the devil? Hallelujah. And I said, sister, why are you afraid? The Lord overcame him on the cross. We don't need to be afraid of the devil. But I said to him, I said to her and to the brothers and sisters that were afraid because I was talking to Lucifer, to Satan, I said, look, the Lord has a hedge of protection around me and around us. Look at the hedge, and they could see the hedge, and see that the devil, the hedge was between the devil and I, and the devil cannot trespass the hedge. My brother and sister, they're like, wow, don't be afraid of the devil. And I tell you this tonight, if there any fear of the devil in your life, it's because the devil has sent demons into your life to plant that fear in you. You need to repent that fear of the devil. You need to break. You need to speak to that demon of fear that came into your life, the fear of Satan, and say, demon of Satan, hallelujah, demon of fear, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I cast you out of my life. Go in Jesus' name. Go out of my life in Jesus' name. Don't have fear of the devil in your life. You don't need to fear him. Jesus overcame him on the cross, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Because he goes around planting his fear on people, and people are afraid to pray. They are afraid to seek God. They are afraid to commit to God because the devil is going to attack them. They say that's a lie from the pit of hell. Let me tell you that when pride was found in the devil in heaven, my brother insisted, God said, Michael, get him out of here. Get him out of here. There's no pride in heaven, brothers and sisters. There's only humility. Humility. Thank you, Lord, in which you and I need to walk. If there's any pride in our life, doubt and unbelief, we need to repent that garbage from the devil and from the pit of hell. My brother and sister, that is not of God. That is not of God. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua, the thief, Jesus said, John 10:10. He came to kill, but he came to kill, steal, and destroy. But I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's what God wants in our life, abundant life, the flow of the Spirit. Abundant life is the flow of the Spirit of God in your life. And as it flow and flow and flow, you have abundant life in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Notice how in the last day people are grieving the Holy Spirit in their life. Hallelujah. Abundant life is not there because they're grieving him. My brother and sister, they feel no more presence. They feel no more anointing. They think God is so far from them when he's over ever so close. My brother and sister, the days are coming where the Lord is going to reveal everything that will be revealed. Everything that is hidden. My brother and sister, that people don't know, that people don't understand, that people don't comprehend, that are in close government, close, hallelujah, in so many places, God is going to reveal them. And reveal them, and people will know about these secrets that have been secret for so long. The devil's keeping so much secret in his demon. Hallelujah, but in the last day, they will be revealed. Everyone will know about the evil and wickedness, my brother and sister, because the Lord is going to change everything. Everything he's going to change. Everything he's going to shake on this earth. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth, hallelujah, will pass. This heaven and earth, you and I know, will pass because it's so corrupted. Hallelujah. So much corruption. Look at all the satellite that hallelujah, Elon Musk is sending into space. It's contaminating the air. Look at this machine from CERN from the United States and the world. Being constructed all over the world now in India, in China, and all these countries are making discern. And they're running in 24 hours, my brother and sister. And they have found, hallelujah, they have found way now to keep this machine more powerful running for them to talk to this demon back and forward. Hallelujah. And have you noticed the bird going crazy, flying crazy? I was back in my house praying, and a bird almost hit me. It was like he was flying crazy. My brother and sister, bees flying crazy. How all kinds of animals and insects are flying crazy in the air, my brother and sister. Why CERN? All these satellites, they're running all the time. Everything is being contaminated. Food is being contaminated. Temperatures are getting out of control. My brother and sister, everything is being damaged one way or another. How are you and I going to stay clean and protected? Hallelujah, under the shadow of the Almighty. But to get under the shadow of the Almighty, you have to do daily repentance, my brother and sister. You have to be in daily communion, my brother and sister. It's so important you understand, how do you stay safe? Hallelujah. How do you stay protected? Listen careful. Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Abiding is dwelling, my brother and sister. It's a place, Brother Miguel, Shalom. It's a place where God wants each one of his children to come to him and dwell, abide in him under his shadow. Under that shadow of Father, no evil satellite, nothing on this earth can harm you, can reach out to you or get to you. Your DNA and everything about you is kept safe. Hallelujah. We were watching earlier a movie of Noah time, that there's a writing that came out from the story of Noah, where when each animal that came to Noah, as God directed the animal to the ark, Noah was inspecting them. Some of these writing came from some of the rabbis that in the early age, after the flood, they came generation and came rabbis, came priests is the word, priests who left their own writing. And in their writing, they said that each animal that God directed to the ark, because of the contamination of the fallen angel, the Nephthalian, Noah would have to inspect each animal, make sure that they were not contaminated. In other words, if they have the COVID-19 by sin in them, they will not be allowed into the ark, my brother insisted. They cannot have anything. It was practically as the priest chose the animal for the sacrifice, my brother insisted, which according to what Jesus showed me the other day, when he made one of these animals appear to me, and he says to me, this is how I made the animal for the sacrifice appear to the priest. So the animal that God led to Noah was not the earthly animal that the fallen Nephthalian had contaminated, my brother insisted. These animals were totally different. Brother Elby, how can you say that? Well, I'm going to give you my proof now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The Bible tells you and I very clear, okay? Very, very clear that all flesh has contaminated itself before the Lord. Animals are included in the flesh. Are you listening? Animals are included in the flesh. That means that the Nephthalian, when they were on the earth in the days of Noah, they had contaminated, as the Bible said, all flesh, every single bird and every single animal. Unless there was an animal of a Christian, okay, but we know that only Noah and his family were just. And the Bible doesn't record that Noah and his family had any animal. They could have animal, but the Bible doesn't register them. So when the Bible said that all flesh was contaminated, all flesh was contaminated. Now that 90 was contaminated and 10% was not contaminated. When the Bible says all flesh, the Bible says 100%. I remember one day we had this Bible study, hallelujah, over 10 years ago with Pastor John, who's in heaven. And I said, Pastor John, when the Bible says all flesh, does the Bible mean all flesh, or does it mean a 90%? And his wife and his family, people were like, everybody stop for a minute. And I said, I want you to think about this for a minute, because God was giving me this. Does the Bible mean all flesh, 100%? Or that the Bible means 90%, 85%, 95%. What do you think? I said. They're like, Brother Elby, that is incredible. I never thought of it this way. I never thought about it this way. And I said, that the Bible means 100%. And then he's like, yeah, Brother Elby, it means 100%. That means birds from the air, from the sea. It doesn't matter what kind of bird, ducks, whatever it is, chicken. They were all contaminated, okay? So in order for Noah to have animal later on, or the generations of Noah, to have animal to eat, an animal to raise and cattle and all of that, okay? God will have to recreate animal again, lead them to the ark, to Noah, and then Noah, who is a type of a priest now, he has to take on that task now as a priest, because the job to inspect the animal was to the priest. So Noah coming out of that generation, Noah now is a priest. And we come according to the generation of priests and king, the Bible says. So he was a priest. So he has to inspect the animal that God led to him to make sure that the animals that was coming into the ark are not contaminated to, like all the animals that were outside the ark, that he knew that the fallen angel had contaminated. So the animals that God led to Noah were animals that God had just created, had made, my brother and sister, and let them, as he showed me, as he made the sacrifice new, brand new, okay? The priest was going through all the animals, could not find one, okay? And that's the way God made it, that you could not find one. If Noah would have gone out into the field to Africa or anywhere, try to find an animal for him to bring into the ark, he would have not found one clean enough that could come into the ark. Because God says through Abraham, or Abraham says from God, God will provide the sacrifice. See, God needs to provide these things because the angel had contaminated everything. And one of the things, my brother and sister, okay, one of the things that the angel wanted to happen was for Noah to bring some of the animals that they had vaccinated, contaminated, into the ark. Because by knowing his family eating some of that meat, they would have been contaminated, my brother and sister. Okay, but God wanted to preserve Noah and his family, okay, from which he was going to bring generations of people afterward. So he had to give them brand new animal, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And lead them into the ark. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And then they will have brand new animal to eat and brand new animal to multiply, my brother and sister. They were not contaminated at all because God made them. I thank you, Lord. And God has to reveal this to us. He has to reveal this to us, my brother and sister. We cannot know this unless he revealed it to us. And one of the examples is a sacrifice. And it's biblical. The Lord will provide the sacrifice. Everything that you and I receive, the Lord has to provide. Because everything down here is contaminated, my brother and sister. See, if you're praying to be married, give you an example. You're praying for a husband. The Lord has to bring you one. And it may not be someone you know. It may be someone you don't know, you never met. And he can come with a story or a testimony. I thank you, Lord. But he might be someone from God. He might be an angel in the flesh. I thank you. So how will you know that? You will not know that. Look at the church. My brother and sister of Ephesians at the end of the Bible. The leader were pastor, angels. And they didn't know. Did they know? They didn't know it was angel, my brother and sister. And there was angel in the pulpit teaching them the word, my brother and sister. But if you can ask the Lord to reveal it to you, and of course he can reveal it to you. No problem with that. Someone asked me this week. So how do you ask the Lord? The Lord will tell you. If whatever you want to know from him, he'll reveal it to you. But if you're not seeking to know, you will not know. Thank you, Lord. But the Lord can do this. It's not a problem for the Lord. God doesn't have any problem. He is the solution to every problem. I thank you, Lord. Jesus is the solution. That's why he says to us, come to me to help us, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Remember when Jesus said that we in heaven will be like angels, but he's talking about heaven. On earth, you can be married, not in heaven. When Brother Larry asked Father, can we marry on the new earth? And God said to him, yes, my son. And I saw this in the millennium, people getting married. On earth, you can be married, but not in heaven. In heaven, you'll be like the angel. Angels in heaven cannot be married, but on earth, you can. Thank you, Lord. Think about it. Thank you, Jesus. We are so limited down here. We think so limited, but with God, all things are possible. My brothers, this is what Jesus was teaching his disciples, that they have such a hard time understanding. Matthew 16:19, and I will give you the key of the kingdom of heaven. Where are the key, Lord? I need the key. Give me the key. Give me the key. The key has been given to you when you were given the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, remember that in the Old Testament, not everyone had the Holy Spirit, but only the priest. Hallelujah. And some of the king. But not everyone had the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters. Only to the priest was given the key. And when they needed to intercede for the people, for the sin of the people, and present the sacrifice, even them was required to be holy and righteous. In other words, first they had to repent, present a sacrifice for their sin, my brother and sister. And a lot of people, they make movie in Hollywood that the dog, the animal that they use for sacrifice, it was an animal that they bought and they, no, not so, not so, not so. When they were selling animal in the times of Jesus in the temple and Jesus saw them, he went, my brother and sister, and whipped them. He whipped all the people. He loosened all the animal and whipped all the people. Why? Because they were wrong. This is not the way God has ever done anything. Everything that God has done with his people has been supernatural, has been a miracle. Everything God did with the priest, with the king, with his people, saying he led them out of Egypt into a land that he promised his father he will give them, a land that will flow with milk and honey. My brother and sister, has been a miracle, has been supernaturally the power of God at work. It had never been for you to go and buy dog, buy sheep, buy animal. Never like that. God never did anything like that, my brother and sister. God always supplied supernaturally, my brother and sister. When Abraham led his land, in his parent land, into a land that God said that I will show you, God had him walk by faith. God had him believe him by faith. In a supernatural way, God delivered him everything he needed to Abraham. And Abraham was such in trust with God that he asked God for a son. And God and the Lord Jesus came to him and said, I have heard you in regard to this matter. From this time when I come again, Sarah, your wife, will be with a baby. And Sarah laughed, my brother insisted. Because so far, God has supplied to Abraham and her everything supernaturally. Is he going to supernaturally supply another baby? And then we will have to call that baby my son. Think about it. He comes from heaven. He gives you a baby. Here's your son. Wait a minute. That's not the natural way you make things for us to have a baby. You're giving us a baby. So she laughed. How is he going to give us a baby? He supplies sheep. He supplies animal. Abraham said he the Lord will provide. In other words, he turns around, the sheep is there. Supernaturally, God supplied. So they're used to that supernatural power of God. And then he said, I will give you a baby. And they're thinking, well, is he going to supernatural? So she laughed. She laughed. And the Lord turns around and says, anything hard to God? He says, in other words, the way I supply you with sheep and all the cattle that you have, I can supply you with a baby. But this is not the way I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it through your husband, through you both. And then she's, I'm too old. And Abraham, I'm too old. And then the Lord says, is anything impossible with the Lord? I thank you, Jesus. So you're looking at your limitation. You're looking that I'm not able to have a child anymore. I'm not in age to be with my wife anymore, you may say. Is any too hard for the Lord? Is there anything impossible with the Lord? The only thing God is asking you is to believe. And God can in a supernatural way supply your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The riches and glory in Christ Jesus is endless because Jesus said everything that the Father has is mine. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Everything that the Father has is mine, he says. Praise you, Lord. And everything that he has is ours. We are coherent with the Lord. Everything Jesus has is ours now. Praise the Lord. Ask, and whatever you ask in my name, it will be given to you, he says. Thank you, Lord. But the riches and glory are in heaven, my brother and sister. So when you ask for something, that something is released from heaven. God gives it to his angel and said, bring to my daughter and bring to my son. My brother and sister, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. And you'll receive from God, thank you, Lord, from heaven whatever it is. That's why the sacrifice for the sin of the people every year was a miracle that God did among the people. So the priests had to believe. How would they have to believe, my brother and sister? Because the first father that was established faith was Abraham. Abraham walked with God by faith. He walked with God by faith. So everything after that is established by faith in God. God established that any man that comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that daily seek him. Them that daily seek him, he is the rewarder of them. He rewards them. Jesus said, my reward is with me to give unto everyone according to thy work, he says. Thank you, Lord. He is the one that releases whatever you need. He is the one that provides what you need. He is the one that opened the windows of heaven and poured blessing upon your life that you were not able to sustain. When the children of Israel in the wilderness asked for meat, God sent them birds for them to eat. But if they would walk like Moses and the rest of the people and believe that God can bring them meat, God would have the meat being cooked by angels. Or God could have made the meat appear already cooked and serve on the table. My brother and sister, God could have all the meat they wanted every single day appear cooked on the table with anything they wanted with the meat, vegetable, rice, beans, hallelujah, whatever they wanted with the meat, God could have it appear on the table every single day. My brother and sister, thou prepare a table before me, before my enemy, David said. God can prepare a table full of food for you to eat, full of meat and full of everything you need. Hallelujah. That will bring all the nutrients into your body. My brother and sister, every single day, if you totally walk by faith with him. But you see, when God challenged people that walk by faith like Abraham, my brother and sister, hallelujah, almost none have dared to. Almost none. My brother and sister, Elijah, hallelujah, was the one, thank you, Jesus, that finally believed God, thank you, Lord. Finally, what man believed that God can provide? Elisha was that man, my brother and sister. And that's why Elisha began to see, hallelujah, the provision of the Lord right when he needed it, my brother and sister. Elisha needed God, thank you, Lord, to provide him food next to the water. And God sent him food, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. God sent him food, animal with food that was already cooked. And he ate, hallelujah, from them. Thank you, Jesus. And it was full, hallelujah, to hallelujahs. Full, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Full from what he was receiving. And then, my brother and sister, when God told him to go to the house of the widow, as God already been providing to him, when he arrived there, he found a woman who only had one last meal and ready to die. But God had a plan with that woman, because the miracle that she was about to see was going to change her life, and all the people in his town was going to turn to the Lord. My brother and sister, God knows how weak people can be, how weak we can be at times, my brother and sister. But the message of salvation never changes, because God never changes. His word never returned back void. The miracle he was going to do in this woman's house will be heard all around her area. And the people, the neighbor, the town, the city, we're going to hear about it and be saved. They will have to believe by faith, my brother and sister, although they will see so much oil in this woman's house that God had provided through a miracle. Praise you, Lord. And if God was still doing miracles that he did in the wilderness with the children of Israel in the time of Elisha, God meant that God is still the same God, and that God was going to continue to do these miracles. Thank you, Lord. The Lord was saying to me, he's still the same yesterday. He had not changed. My brother and sister, he can still perform and do what he promised. He can bring his word to come to pass in our life if we believe. All we have to do is trust him, believe in him, and all the blessing he will prepare right before our lives for us to receive, for us to have. Whatever he needs, he will set it right before us. And there will be no way if we walk in obedience that we will miss them, my brother and sisters. He has so much to give, but very few people to believe him, my brother and sister. There's so much in glory. We focus so much on the thing on this earth. This life is over. God is about to bring a change on this earth like you cannot even imagine. God has said through his prophet, judgment is coming to the land. This economy is going to fall. This, I saw the earth yesterday morning, empty, ruined, like you cannot even imagine. The world were not there as neat and beautiful as they are today. The world were completely destroyed. People will have to walk on dirt. You will not have to worry. People that will stay behind in the Great Tribulation, it's practically 8 billion people are staying behind in the Great Tribulation. Not 1 billion is going to heaven in this rapture of the pastor. The Lord has shown this to me so many times, the few that are going home. Imagine 8 billion people right now almost on the earth staying in the Great Tribulation. Like Tribulation, Jesus said, like no one has seen before, like never. No one has seen before, and never be again, my brother and sister. I saw people desperate looking for food, walking around just for a piece of bread. And when they will see us, they will ask us for food. We, the group of people that I have with me, we have bread and food from heaven. We know how to pray for it. And it was in our hand immediately. We knew this. And we were handing people bread. As we were sharing the word with them, this is why the devil came our way. Because we have sent from heaven to minister to this group of people on earth. And people were devastated, hungry, and practically naked. And we came down, 13 of us, and we can pray for bread, and immediately bread was in our hand. Whatever we could pray for those people, if you wanted to pray for a sandwich of cheese, the bread and the cheese was right in your hand, the sandwich was immediately in your hand. And people marvel at the miracle that was being done through our hand. And we remind them of the word of God, that these things have already been spoken. My brother and sister, Jesus fed over 5,000 people as he prayed to God for food for all that multitude two or three times. And two or three times, God never failed them. Elijah did the same. And God never failed Elijah or none of his servants. 5 million people coming out of Egypt and in the wilderness. God fed them manna from heaven, the word says. He fed them bread of angels in heaven. Bread that are specifically made for angels. Wonderful, good, it's awesome. Was given to the children of Israel in the wilderness. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we were all there, all 13 of us, and we were holding bread. But I noticed that some of the sisters had clothing. So we didn't only just pray for bread to appear. We had really expensive clothing, giving it out for free for some of the women that were barely naked, barely in their underwear in the street. As we ministered to them, my brother and sister, that group of brothers and sisters, we were calling them. We were under that circle, that protection, that edge of protection, when all demons and devil can come to us. But if the people that we were calling there wanted to come to us as we were calling them, not just for bread, we will hand them bread and we were given clothing. My brother and sister, remember what Jesus told his disciple. When the multitude of people were there and were hungry and tired, and they said, where we will find so much bread and fish for these people, so much food for these people, the disciple wondered. Jesus said to them, feed them. It is you and I obligation to feed 8 billion people on the earth, in case you didn't know this. The job of feeding the homeless was given to the priests. And as far as I know, according to the Bible, you and I are the priests, sister and brother. So there's 8 billion people that are on the earth right now going hungry and thirsty severely very soon. The responsibility to feed them and to dress them is you and I, church. Are you listening? You need to take your responsibility serious before God. You need to stop saying government need to feed them. No, it is you and I responsibility. Jesus told his disciple, feed them. Feed them. Feed them. Don't go by the homeless without giving them some money. Why, Brother Elvie? It's our responsibility to feed them. I am telling you, begin to take your responsibility serious. Serious. Because God is holding you and I responsible to feed the homeless, to dress the homeless, my brother and sister. And when he sends us back in the millennium, in the great tribulation, we're going to come down, my brother and sister, okay? And we're going to feed them and dress them, my brother and sister. We need to begin to pray for this. We need to get to change our prayer for us. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Lord, me. That's pride. Begin to pray for them. Begin to intercede, my brother and sister, because we have a great job to do. And when you get to heaven and you are reminded of this by the Lord, what are you going to say to the Lord? Lord, but you know, I just want to come to the wedding and celebrate. Yeah, you'll celebrate, but I want you to go back and feed them. Okay, my brother and sister, very important you understand. We're going to feed the homeless. It's our responsibility. When God told this to the priests back in the Old Testament, my brother and sister, they were shocked and surprised. My brother and sister, hallelujah, they were surprised. They were shocked. Hallelujah. How can God demand this of them? Hallelujah. Malachi 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide in the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like refiner fire and like fuller soap. He shall sit on the refiner purified silver, hallelujah. He should purify the son of Levi, purge them as gold and silver, and they may offer unto the Lord offering and righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah, of Jerusalem, be pleasant unto the Lord in the day of old and as the former year. Thank you, Lord. When you and I do what we're supposed to do, my brother and sister, when you and I do what I'm supposed to do, then Jerusalem to be pleasant to the Lord. Our life become pleasant to the Lord. But when we ignore our responsibility, verse 5, I will come near to you in judgment. I will swift witness against the sorcerer, against the adulterer, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless. Those who are turned aside in the stranger from his right hand, fear, hallelujah, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. We cannot turn people aside or look them over or ignore them, in other words. Cannot ignore our responsibility, my brother and sister. Because God gave it to the priest, but in the New Testament, you and I are the priest. It's you and my responsibility. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to have to answer for this. Okay? We're going to have to answer for this. Think about it. For I am the Lord, and I change now. Therefore, your sons, Jacob, are not consumed. The Lord made sure he tells them, I am the Lord, and I change not. The way it's been established, that's the way it's going to stay. Thank you, Lord. Everyone from the day as your father, ye have gone away from mine ordinance and have not kept them. You hear what the Lord is saying? You hear what the people did? They said, forget about this. I ain't dealing with those people. Huh? That's why when Messiah came and went about with his disciple, everyone was sick in Jerusalem. He has to begin ministry healing people, healing people, healing people. My brother, why? Because the responsibility of the priests were not doing it. The people were not doing it. And it's happening in the last days. The responsibility of the bride is not doing it. And God is holding us responsible. Imagine you're being held responsible for something that you're probably not hearing in church. God have mercy. From the day of your father, ye have gone away from my ordinance, have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, in what manner should we return? Which is a great question by the priest, by the people. Lord, how do we return to you? Because he said, return to me. In other words, in their own life, they were backsliding. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In the tithes and offering. Thank you, Lord. Remember how he began with the widow and the fatherless? And now he goes into the tithes and offering. Because when the priests, according to, hallelujah, the Old Testament, when they received the tithes and offering, they were supposed to take that and take care of the widow and the fatherless and the stranger, which began to any nation of the people that will come into the land of Israel, they have to come under the ordinance. They have to learn them and keep them, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Verse 9, but ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. What curse is God referring to? Deuteronomy 28. If you don't hear the voice of the Lord and keep his commandments, you will be cursed in the land. In and out of the land, you will be cursed. Cursed in the field, your cattle, your family, everything is cursed. Deuteronomy 20, that's Deuteronomy 28, 15, 16, and on. Read it. The curse comes of the people don't hear the voice of the Lord no more. What thou sayest the voice of the Lord now? For us to take care of the fatherless and the widow. Take care of the people. So when the people were hungry, and Jesus turned to his disciple and said to them, feed them. The sole disciple is the church. That's his church. And he turned to his church and said, feed them. And where we're going to find so much food for these people? The lack of faith. That's the lack of faith. My brother and sister, when you say, where am I going to find so much food for these people? It's your lack of faith, because with God, all things are possible. My brother and sister, that was showing to the Lord that these people were not walking with God as they should. We need to be careful. Okay? When we say, oh, the government is supposed to feed all these people. No, we are supposed to feed all these people. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 10, but ye all with the tithes, hallelujah, but bring all the tithes into the house, storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Why will there be meat in the house of God? Why will there be food in the house of God? Because that's the food to take care of the widow and the fatherless. And when the widow and the fatherless are not taken care of, what did the disciple do in the book of Acts? Why do they have such a great move of God among them? Because the disciple took the occasion as they pray. My brother and sister, they set up men and women to take care of the widow and the fatherless. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Put me to the proof now whereby, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and put out blessing, but there should not be room enough for you to receive it. My brother and sister, when people turn to God with this in their heart, the blessing that God brings to them, they cannot even imagine the blessing. That's why some ministries are so blessed to give to the poor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Very important. Praise the Lord. Very important. Hallelujah. That we know and understand from the Lord this. And you can take it to Jesus. He will confirm it to you. He's given us a responsibility, my brothers and sisters. And we need to feed those people and give them clothing. I believe that's why this community here in North Carolina that we're putting together for 5,000 people and more, if we cannot give people home or a place for them to sleep and live, we're going to give them food and some clothing as they go away if we have no room for them. If we have room, they can stay. They have food and clothing. It's our responsibility to feed the people. The Lord has given us that responsibility. And that's because the Lord showed me when I was in Massachusetts years ago what's going to come onto the earth in the last days. The signs and wonders he showed me, which I shared in those videos. The falling of the economy of this country and the world that is coming. That practically the world will have to eat dirt if there's no food. That's when the church comes into place to feed these people. To feed the fatherless and the widows, the homeless people. That will have so much need, my brother and sister, that as you feed them and clothe them and you share the word, they will receive because they will not only God will provide. If government is not giving us any assistance, if nobody is giving us any assistance, and we are supporting these people, they're going to believe that with God all things are possible. They're going to see the hand of the Lord at work. Supernaturally, God's going to provide to you and I. My brother and sister, so we can feed these people. Supernatural, he'll put, as God provided the sacrifice for Abraham, the father of faith, when he looked forward to sacrifice his son, and the angel said from the air to Abraham, Abraham, do no harm to the child, as he had him bound tight, ready to sacrifice him. Hallelujah. Abraham believed that God was going to provide the sacrifice. When he turns around, there was the sacrifice. A lamb with no marks, nothing, spotless, ready for the sacrifice. That was a miracle of God. I thank you, Jesus. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And the moment we do this, there's nothing Satan can do if it's done according to God's will. The devil knows he needs to walk away, and he did. I saw the devil walks away. He wanted to come and see what we were doing. But when he saw us doing what the bride is supposed to do under the power and protection of God, he knew there was nothing he can do. He went away. And we kept fetting the people and taking care of the people, as the Lord showed me. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. God will rebuke the devoured. And he knows that with God, he cannot mess. He cannot try to do anything against God. Against humanity, he does all the time. Ruin people's life, but not against God. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast the fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. This is Almighty God. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob saying this, making this promise to you and I. This is Father speaking to us that if we obey him, if we do what he commanded us to do in the last day, he says he will rebuke the devourer, the devil, who devoured everything that Job had, the field, killed his children, everything he had, the devil, they harmed to. But the Lord is saying to us now, he's going to rebuke the devourer from among us. He'll rebuke the devourer not to harm anything that we own. We'll be able to own. We'll be able to pray for food and feed the homeless, the hungry, and clothe the nakedness of the people, of the nations. And we can go around the earth doing this, and people will praise God because they'll say, where are you getting this food from? Where are you getting this money from? And we will worship the Lord and say, this is the Lord of hosts. This is the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, who is providing this miracle of food and clothing for you. And they'll have no choice but to praise him because they'll see his mighty hand at work. Jesus was showing them to me yesterday, and I marvel at this, my brother and sister. I marvel at what God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has programmed, planned for you and I. But in this case, we must be obedient and look forward to doing his will. Thank you, Lord. Whatever work he wants us to do, we say amen. Let thy will be done on earth in my life as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. All the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. People will glorify God because of the work that God is commanding us to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. God has planned in store for you and I. Our committing to God every day is a must. Our obedience is a must. Our repentance is a must. Stop putting off repenting. Stop putting off prayer. Stop putting off, hallelujah, fasting with the Lord. But look forward to it. Every day, look forward to pray. Look forward to fast every week. Meditate on his word day and night like Joshua, and the word will prosper your way because power is in the word of God. Jesus said to me, my word is power. My word is alive, he says to me in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Everything people receive down here is alive because the prince alive, the father alive, the devil goes around like a roaring lion, lying to people, deceiving humanity. And everywhere, every country you travel to, if you have a private plane where you can go to every country, what you're going to find is chaos, lies, and deceit from the devil. The four corners of the earth is full of lies right now. You go to Russia, full of lies. You go to Mexico, full of lies. You go to Israel on the street, full of lies. You come to Canada, full of lies everywhere. The earth is full of lies. The father of all lies. The thieves that come to kill, steal, and destroy, full of vanity and lies. Everything but the truth, because the truth is so powerful. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. Verse 13, your words have been defiant against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye have said, why have we spoken so much against thee? Hallelujah. Everything humanity has said so far about God has been against God. Not in favor, but against. Because if we're not doing his will, hallelujah, his will must be done. Yes, have said, ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And the prophet that is, that we have kept his ordinance, that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. Mournfully, like in pain. And a lot of people can say this, but it's not true. It's that we don't commit our life to the Lord every day. Hallelujah. We will have nothing good to say. Verse 15, so now we call the proud happy, yea, that they may work the wickedness are set out, yea, they that thank God are even delivered. Oh, my brother and sister, God knows the heart of humanity. Whatever the people think is in his word. What people are thinking today in this humanity, God said, but so now we call the proud happy, my brother and sister. It's so sad. It's so true. They celebrate their pride in the great assembly, my brother and sister. Verse 16, then those who feared the Lord spoke often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord, who thought upon his name. Everything you and I do to glorify God. It is written in heaven in a book of remembrance. Everything we're doing here on the Lord's Hour, planning and praying for, is being written in heaven in the book of remembrance. My brother and sister, read it right there, verse 16. There's a book of remembrance in heaven where everything is being written by angels, by the hand of God. Hallelujah. For those that fear the Lord, hallelujah, who thought upon his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Verse 17, as they should be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make my jewels, I will spare them as a man spare his own son who serve him. See that we are made sons and daughters of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you and I on the cross. We have brought closer to God through what Jesus did on the cross, my brother and sister. And they should return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serve God and him that serve him not. This is a problem in the churches today. There's no discernment of whom is of God and who is not. But when you have a relationship with him and you seek him and you serve him, you can discern who is of God and who is not. God will give you that discernment, my brother and sister. It is so true. This is a fact with him, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord wants to speak with you. The Lord wants to speak to your life in that secret place between you and him. If you have a ear to hear, hallelujah, and a heart to receive, he will speak to you, hallelujah, things that you never heard on the Lord's Hour in anywhere. Thank you, Lord, that will be so powerful that you look forward to. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look forward to the Lord speaking to your life. Look forward to spending time with the Lord in prayer. Ask the Holy Spirit everything you don't understand. Say, explain this to me. And if when you ask sometime, he will have you wait if you need to fast about it. Say, do I need to fast about this matter to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit? Do I need to fast the Lord about this matter in order for you to explain it to me? He may say yes right away. Hallelujah. He may just explain it to you if you're already fasting. Thank you, Lord. There's so much people can learn through fasting. But now much fasting is being done with the Lord. It's a time when you put your plate and your spoon down and you put the desire of your flesh down and you say, Lord, speak to me. I want to hear what you have to say. Teach me, Rabbi. He's the greatest Rabbi that ever set foot on this earth. He wants to teach you. He wants to lead you. But you need to put the spoon down, your fork down, your plate down, the things you desire the most every day. You need to put it down to hear him, to listen to him. Because as long as you're feeding your flesh, you're not feeding your spirit. Hallelujah. God wants you to feed your spirit. Put your flesh to hold as you listen to his guidance and teaching. Hold the desire of your flesh. Remember that your flesh is weak. A lot of people think the spirit is weak. No, your flesh is weak. The spirit of God is willing, but your flesh is weak. If you have no willing, he'll give you the willing. He'll give you the desire that you need in order to serve him in that secret place with him, in that secret conversation. Yes. The Lord is my equal opportunity employer. He can also be your employer too, my brother and sister. Thank you, Jesus. Very important. You ask the Lord, how should you fast? The Lord will tell you how to fast. Daniel fasted, hallelujah, from me. Only ate vegetable and drink water, my brother and sister. And God received his fasting. Fasting is of the Lord. The Lord will lead you and tell you how. He may tell you not to fast. I was talking to the Lord when I was asking the Lord for to do the corporate fasting. And the Lord have agreed with the fasting. Then I said, Lord, should on Monday, should we fast with water, with liquid, but no food? And remember the Lord said, no, fast on Monday with no liquid and no food neither. Yes, Lord. Amen. And it's a tremendous blessing to us, to those that are doing it. My brother and sister, he is the one that knows what we need. We think we know, but that could be wrong. A lot of our thinking can be wrong, my brother and sister, unless you check with the Lord. I was speaking with someone on the phone this week who was telling me the things that she was thinking. And I said, do you check with the Lord? And it's like having a person, huh? The person just got for a moment that sometimes we can be thinking or planning something. But if you don't ask the Lord, you don't know how it should be. Many times have I asked the Lord, I have planned something, and then I ask the Lord, and when he tell me how, I'll be like, wow, I should have just asked him from the beginning. He knows everything, my brother and sister. When people were bringing hard questions to me, I remember being like, what am I going to answer? How am I going to do this? And I said, well, let me ask the Lord. And the Lord said, when someone brings you these questions that you don't know, the Lord says, ask me. I know everything, he says. I'll give you the answer. Ask me, my son. Okay, Lord. We struggle so much. It's because we do things how we think it should be right instead of asking the Lord. And we're going to make mistakes when we do this. And then we get frustrated. We get a headache. We get frustrated. Say, how come this is not working? Well, did you ask the Lord that if you should have done it that way? My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. A sister contacted me. She was going to take a test in college. And said, Brother Elvie, hallelujah, can you pray with me? Because I'm going to take this test, very important. If I graduate with this, I'll get a great job and this and that. She says, I know how important it is. I said, sister, I'm glad. Amen. Yes, we will pray. And the Lord was putting in my heart to let her know to fast. And to tell someone in college who's taking classes and all that to fast, very difficult. And I said, will you please take the time to fast? And I know this will be hard for her to fast when she has to be taking these classes, sitting in class and listening to these professors about these different topics. But she did. And she said she was not hungry in class. Not hungry. Hunger was gone from her. And not weak neither, not falling asleep neither. She was able to do the fasting. And pass the test also, like a miracle. Some people said, Brother Elvie, if it wasn't from the Lord, I would have not been able to. Brother Elvie, this was a miracle of God that I passed the test. Hallelujah. If you want to hear Jesus, ask him that you want to hear him. And ask him to tell you in a dream or vision, how should you go about with your relationship with him? What does he want you to do? Fast, pray? What is it, Lord? Tell me, Lord, in a dream and a vision. Hallelujah, since I don't hear you, Lord. And the Lord will tell you. He'll give you a dream. He'll give you a vision. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. So another young man also contacted me the same way. I talked about this, I remember, in the Lord Tower, that we can pray for the Lord to have you pass the test. He contacted me. He says, Brother Elvie, when I asked you for this, we pray and fast. But he says, I have really not studied. I thought I was going to fail, but I trusted the Lord, and the Lord made him pass the test. My brother, we're really high grade. Hallelujah. He was like, wow. My brother and sister, asking the Lord for everything. Here's another example. I don't know how many of you remember Brother Jin Ching from California. He contacted me the other day. He's doing great. my brother and sister. He was struggling in his fasting and never thought about to ask the Lord to help you to fast. So you say, I'm going to do this fasting for the Lord. But have you asked the Lord to give you the strength or for you not to be hungry while you're fasting? Before you fast, not during the fasting. I was telling someone this week, the devil sometimes comes to attack your family, your finance, and these different things in your life. And you begin to fast and rebuke the devil out of your finance, out of your life, out of your marriage, out of your relationship. You begin to rebuke the devil. And he has to leave, as the word says. But you never thought that you can pray for him not to be able to come into your marriage and attack your finance before he comes. Imagine if you pray every day and you rebuke the devil every day and you pray that he will not come into your finance, your house, everything you have, that everything God will protect it before he comes. You see the difference? It's a difference when he comes in there and he got his leg, his body, his arm already into your life attacking you, your finance, your relationship. And you're mad because everything is going wrong. Well, if you were to pray for him not to be able to do that, that would have not happened. See, we wait until he comes and attacks, and then we rebuke him instead of being in prayer before. Peter, the devil asked me to sweep you as wheat, but I pray that your faith will not fail, Jesus said to Peter. Remember that? Before the devil came against Peter, the Lord told Peter that the devil wanted to come and attack him, but he had prayed. The Lord had prayed before the attack came. So what happened when Jesus got arrested? And all the disciples flee. And Peter took a sword and cut the ear of the soldier. And the Lord took the ear back and healed the soldier. And said, Peter, put away your sword because he that killed by sword will die by sword, my brother and sister. Okay? When Jesus got arrested and taken away, Peter followed the guard. And when they got to the temple, there was someone who recognized Peter that woke him. And Peter denied Jesus three times. That was the testing of the devil against the life of Peter, my brother and sister. But Jesus had already prayed for Peter that his faith would not fail. You see? If Peter would have to go through that test without the Lord praying for him before, Peter would have fallen worse like you had no idea. Yes, Peter denied the Lord, and he grieved bitterly, the Bible says. He cried bitterly. That means he repented. He repented because Jesus had already prayed. He was delivered from his own worst, his own enemy, which is his flesh, denying Jesus three times. My brother and sister, the devil came against Peter with everything he had. Because Peter heard when the Lord gave him the authority, hallelujah, to open and close. Hallelujah. And the devil said, ooh, these men and women are being prepared for something great. They're going to steal my people from me. And the devil was not willing to lose anything, my brother and sister. So he wanted to sweep Peter as wheat. He wanted to take everything Peter had, my brother and sister. When you process wheat, it's to be able to make it useful before, but study the process of wheat, so you see what I mean. Smashes, I believe, is the only way. You got to smash it, hit it hard in order to process it to be useful. That's what the devil was going to do in the life of Peter. Smash Peter to break him. They were wanting to break Peter and have him run and denying the Lord. But Peter did deny the Lord, but did not run. You see, he was still with the 12 when Jesus appeared among them, among the brethren, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Tell my brethren that I'm going before them when Jesus resurrected on the third day, he told the woman. So when he appeared among them, my brother and sister, Peter was in there. Hallelujah. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, that thou lovest me. And Peter was surprised that Jesus was asking him this question. Remember, he denied Jesus three times. And again, the Lord said, Peter, that thou lovest me. And then Peter is like, Lord, he's not shocked because it was three times. And the third time, said, Peter, that thou lovest me. Lord, you know that I love you. Pastor my sheep, he says. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The three denying the Lord that brought bitterness into his heart, it was healed through the love of Jesus. When he confessed to Jesus, you know that I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. He didn't respond in pride. This time Peter responded in humility. Thou knowest that I love thee. Humility, not in pride. He didn't say, I know that I love you, Lord. I don't know what you're thinking, but I know that's pride. Thou know that I love you. Humility. Thank you, Lord. That's humility. Your response shows to God your humility. Praise you, Lord. God knows everything. Thou hast know that I love thee. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Pastor, my sheep. He was healed. The three scars in his heart, the bitterness in his heart got healed at that moment. Peter got set free. Thank you, Lord. Now he can serve the Lord and bring the message to his people. If there's any bitterness in your heart, hallelujah, lean down to the love of Jesus. Know that he loves you. Confess your sin before him, your trespasses, and say, Lord, thou art know that I love thee. Thank you, Jesus. Look forward to praying for people, helping people. Hallelujah. Bitterness will keep you from doing it. When you forgive and you are healed, you look forward to doing it. Hallelujah, because you love them. Thank you. Very important, my brother and sister. A root of bitterness can ruin a whole congregation, can ruin people so much. Praise the Lord. But when you are able to forgive, hallelujah, my brother and sister, you'll be able to move on, and you'll be able to be a blessing. We want to be a blessing to people. And all of us have been hurting the Lord. Blessed is he that is not hurting him. We all have been hurt. How can you not be hurting him? But blessed is he that has not been hurting the Lord, or that taking no offense in the Lord also. When you are able to forgive, you take no offense. You are blessed just for that. Thank you, Lord. You are blessed. Very important, my brother and sister, that we learn to forgive, that we learn to forgive, and we ask the Lord, Lord, help me to forgive. See, when you ask the Lord to help you to forgive, you are humbling yourself. But if you're not, if you see, you feel, you think that you're not able to forgive, well, people tells you you're not forgiving them, you need to humble yourself. Don't let pride. And the prideful can tell you you're not forgiven, but as long as you go into the Lord for help, you are humbling yourself. Humble yourself, hallelujah, under the mighty hand of God. Let him heal you. Prolong forgiveness, every bitterness in your heart, in your life. Ask him to remove it, to forgive you, to help you to forgive other people who have accused you falsely, who have come against you falsely, who have abused you falsely, even with language, with word, or physically. If someone punch you or slap you, pray to the Lord that you are able to forgive them. Lord, help me to forgive those that have hurt me and offended me one way or another, Lord. Jesus, help me to forgive them, Lord. Lord, say, Lord, you know how much I struggle to forgive others, Lord. You know how difficult it's been to me, Lord. Since these people that I did do no harm to them have offended me, Lord. Have they harmed to me, Jesus? Lord, help me to forgive them. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Help me to forgive them, Lord, that I will have no bitterness in me anymore. That I can walk in peace and joy in you, Lord. If you have not been able to forgive, it's hard. You will not be able to walk in peace and joy in the Lord. As a Christian, your life is no peace, no joy. Bitterness is in there. You need to ask the Lord to heal you from this. He is the Lord that healeth thee, the word of God says. Hallelujah. He came to destroy the work of the devil. The work of the devil is bitterness and unforgiveness and so much more. Jesus began to came to destroy the work of the devil. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bible says to forgive. It doesn't tell you the name of the person that you need to forgive. Who it is, if it's a demon in the flesh or whatever it is. Forgive. Pray to forgive. Pray that you're able to forgive anyone or everyone. One another, the offense. Hallelujah. Let God put the devil in the lake of fire and punish them forever. But you forgive. I thank you, Lord. Very important. Very important that in our part we do what God says. He says for us to forgive. We look forward to doing that. We pray that we're able to. If you're having a hard time forgiving, ask the Lord Jesus to help you. Praise your Lord. See, what happened with the people that are in hell that were not able to forgive but ended up in hell because they did not forgive? This is what some of the accusation will be. Did you ask the Lord to help you to forgive when you were on earth? Oh, no, because what this person did was so unjust, so unrighteous. No way I'm going to forgive this person. See the problem? Pride and unforgiveness. Hallelujah. God says for us to forgive. You ask the Lord to help you. It's not easy. In most of the cases, not easy. Some case, the abuse was too much. The verbal abuse, psychological abuse, the emotional abuse, the physical abuse was terrible. That's why we need the Lord to help us. Hallelujah. Because he knows. That's what he told his disciple in John 15:4-5. Separated from me, there's nothing you can do. Without me, there is nothing you can do, Jesus said to his disciple. Even forgiving without Jesus, we cannot do. My brother and sister, because the devil will send demon in the flesh against you to hurt you, to offend you, to try to bring in you bitterness and unforgiveness. And if you don't ask the Lord to help you, you won't forgive him. Because you say, oh, this demon. But the devil sent him exactly to do that to you in order to hold you back in the great tribulation. You see the plan of the devil? He came to destroy the work of the devil, the Bible says. Came to destroy it, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. He'll do it. He'll destroy it in your life. He won't be able to point to you and say, oh, wait a minute, Lord. Your daughter, your son, did not do this. Hallelujah. Did not do what you say to do, Lord. Where is the forgiveness? Hallelujah. Where is the mercy? Hallelujah. Praise to God. See? We have to practice. Pray about the things God said. Hallelujah. Then that's also keeping his commandment. When you pray to him, when you ask him, you humble yourself. Hallelujah. And you ask the Lord to help you. You're depending on the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. 10:38. How God. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 37, let me read first. The word that I say ye now, which was proclaimed through all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism where John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. How he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Thank you, Lord. So many people oppressed by the devil. Hallelujah. No, you cannot pray for people in hell. No. Thank you, Lord. God is not a God of the dead, but God is only a God of the living. The people that are in hell are dead. God is only a God of the living. My brother and sister, praise the Lord. And also you can ask the Lord. You can ask the Lord this question. I'm responding for what the Bible says, but also you can ask the Lord, and the Lord will let you know if you could or not. Thank you, Lord. Most of these things, we got to take it before the Lord, because a lot of people, I can give you as a man the opinion by the word of God, but then you got to ask the Lord, can I do this, Lord? Because certain men can say no, but what about if the Lord say yes to you? That's between you and God now. Thank you, Lord. So take everything before the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But the Bible says that God is not a God of the dead. God is a God of the living. Praise you, Lord. Very important that we take everything before the Lord. So in churches, say, oh, you cannot do this. You cannot do that. Ask the Lord. He is the King of heaven and Lord, and he knows everything. Very important. We take everything in prayer. Having a relationship with the Lord is so important. I was talking in Spanish early that the Lord wants to manifest himself to us. He said he would in his word. Hallelujah. As he manifested himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Bible said that they saw God. They saw God, my brothers and sisters. Okay? So they saw God. God manifested himself to them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So if they saw God and God manifested himself, that means that the plan of God was to manifest himself to his people specifically. Okay? But what happened if you don't believe? Hallelujah. What happened if you don't believe? Praise the Lord. That's different. That is different because we walk by faith, not by sight. Thank you, Lord. So when you walk by faith, you believe God, and God will make the things possible in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm looking for a Bible verse in regard to the Bible said that they saw God. Our parents saw God, the Bible says. Hallelujah. They saw God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God revealed himself to them. The Lord came to them in the middle of the day, and they saw him, my brother and sister. And when God began to deal with his people through Isaiah, in Isaiah 53:1 says, who have believed our report, and to whom have the arm of the Lord been revealed? Well, the right arm of the Lord is Jesus Christ. But the question is, to whom have this arm, Jesus, been revealed to? My brother and sister, to whom he has been revealed to? And that is to his people that he will reveal himself to. I remember when the Lord said to me a few months, why do my people think that I don't want to reveal myself to them? Why do they think I'm hiding from them when I want to reveal myself to them? Praise the Lord. So first you come to the knowledge that the Lord wants to reveal himself to you through the word. You need to look this up in the word. All the people that the Lord revealed himself to in the Bible, you need to look it up. I did a Bible study from Genesis to Revelation to all the people that God revealed himself to from the Old Testament to the New, and including to the multitude of the children of Israel when the angel of the Lord spoke to them and God and talked to them, my brother and sister, face to face. They saw him and they heard his voice. Hallelujah. God was never a stranger among his people. So why is it that today in the last day, they want to make God a stranger among his people? When God is among his people, and only a few, very few can see him, but the great other people cannot see him or hear him. It's because they don't believe. And all this starts by faith. The relationship that started with Abraham, my brother and sister, it started by faith. Hallelujah. It did not start by anything else but by faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Genesis 17. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Thank you, Lord. These were the same words that Jesus told his disciple, my brother and sister. Same word. Thank you for that, Brother Benjamin. Genesis 32:30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. So when Abraham was 99 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Jesus said to his disciple, be thou perfect like thy Father who is in heaven. It's the same Lord. It's the same God. The one who spoke to Abraham is now speaking to his disciple. And him the same is speaking to you and I. He speaks the same message. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, says the Apostle Paul, for the church. So it's the same speaking, the one that spoke with Abraham, spoke to the disciple, and now is speaking to us. We can talk to him face to face if we believe. The walk is by faith, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. But for the Lord to come to Abraham this way and say to him to be thou perfect, hallelujah, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, still the Lord is there with Abraham. Abraham just saw the Lord. The Lord is still speaking, but Abraham's face is in the ground. Great fear of God this man had. Still in the ground. He just saw him, saw his beautiful eyes, his face, everything. Because he appeared to him. And Abraham is on his face on the floor. This kind of teaching, my brother and sister, in the churches today is unprecedented. Okay? They have politicized this message in the church. Politics. They have made this message of God appearing to his people politics in the church. In other words, what I mean politics, it has become to nothing. Nobody agreed on it. My brother and sister, when it's biblical, okay? Every topic now that people don't want to believe, they have made it into politics. This is a politics message in the Church of America and the world today, my brother and sister. Okay? But the Lord wants to have a relationship with his people. Why is he not having it? When he had it from his church from the beginning, and this end of time, he's still the same. He still wants to have it, but people don't believe him. People don't believe him. Thank you, Lord. One of our prophets in the church where I grew up in Massachusetts, Jesus appeared to her. And she could describe the Lord exactly how he looks. And she told this other prophet that she has seen the Lord. And she said, no one can see God and live. That's impossible. The pastor wife said this to her. That's impossible. How can you say you see God? You saw Jesus. No, that's impossible. Sister, you need to repent for this. She's like, I saw him. It was him. He talked to me. No, 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 no. No, don't tell me that. No, no, no. So this is where the church are today. They have the Bible. They have the word from Genesis to Revelation, God appearing to people. But when it has to do God appearing to them, God has appeared to thousands of people in the Bible. But when it has to do appearing to them, oh, no, that cannot happen. See, you're not believing. He that cometh to God must believe that he is appear. He is. God is. What do you mean he is? What he says to Moses, I am that I am. Must believe that I am that I am wants to appear to you. That he's a rewarder of things that they really seek him. He is. He is. Hallelujah. He is. Abraham fell upon his face and God talked with him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Hallelujah. Verse 6, I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of thee. Kings shall come out of thee. Hallelujah. God is making all this promise. I will give thee unto thee, unto thy seed, unto the land where thou art a stranger. The land of the Canaan for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. Now, talking to my wife about this earlier. Hallelujah. God promised this land when he told Abraham, "Where thou art a stranger, but God said, I'm giving you this land as a possession." You know who was possessing the land? Brother Ben Denun just did a message last week about this. Okay? The body of Nimrod that was in Iraq that was brought to the U.S. and all the stuff that was in it. Okay? You probably want to hear that audio. Okay? Now, the giants, the sons and daughters of the giant were in this land. So I was saying to my wife, according to what we read in the Bible and see, God had a plan, because he told this to Moses in Exodus 3, to remove all these people, the Hittites, the Amorites. All these were seed of the Naphtalim. And God said that he was going to remove them from the land. Why would the fallen angel sons and daughter possessing this land? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And this is the, thank you, sister. That's the verse that the pastor wife quoted to the other sisters. That thou cannot see my face, or there should not be no man see me and live. But the church, hallelujah, the church are dead in regard to this world, to the flesh, but living with God. So the church should be able to see God. So I explain to the people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So the giants were in the land, possessing the land, my brother and sister. And so when Joshua sent the 12 spies, they saw the giant. They saw the giant, the seed of the giants. And they saw giants, and they even thought only Caleb and Joshua believed they could defeat them. But the other rest of the men, did not believe that they could defeat them, because they were giants. They were up to 90 feet tall, and they were possessing the land, my brother and sister. So the land that God was told them was the land where the giant was possessing. Why was the giant possessing the land? It could have been that the enemy had a plan to keep the giant in the land, or the giant knew also, because of their parents, that land was blessed. Okay, because the name of God is in that land, and so much more. And they wanted to keep the blessing unto themselves. But God said he was going to remove them. And then we were talking about how God, my wife was telling me, that God has given the 12 tribes supernatural power. Oh, thank you, Lord. But let's confirm that, yes. Supernatural power. Okay? Supernatural power. He gave the 12 tribes to be able to remove these giants. Because if you're fighting a man who's 99 feet tall or 90 feet tall and you're like 6 or 5 feet tall, if you don't have the power of God, you will not be able to defeat them unless God is with you. And that's exactly what happened. Okay? The supernatural power God gave those men, it's the same supernatural power Jesus is going to give to his bride. That's why he said to the Corinthians, the church will be changed. The church will be transformed. That supernatural power of God will be given to the church as he has given to the 12 tribe of Israel. My brother and sister, Solomon says it's nothing new under the sun. So it's only a repetition of what God already did through the children of Israel that's going to happen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's only a repetition. There's nothing new under the sun. There's only a repetition of God doing this again. He had done this with his people for so many years. He says he's going to do it again. My brother and sister. So when Moses takes the children of Israel into the wilderness, and they began to encounter the giant, they were fighting the sons of the Nephilim, but they were able to defeat it, because not only were they now truly fighting, but God was fighting for them, because Benjamin, my says the Lord. And Joshua saw the angel of the Lord not far from him with a sword in his hand. That was Jesus fighting for them, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Very important that we know and understand that. The Lord was already fighting the giant for them, because there was no way possible that they could defeat my brother and sister. Hallelujah. those giants. No way, physically they could not. But the Lord empowered them to. Okay? And the Lord was fighting for them also. Because they were fallen angels. They were the sons and daughters of the fallen angels. And they were huge. Giants. That's what they call them, giants. They were huge and they were mighty soldiers. So that means that their parents that were fallen angels taught, trained them to be mighty soldiers, taught them, you keep training, you keep being mighty soldier. And so when you go back to Cain, he went to build city, but he also built army. My brothers, in other words, the mentality, the teaching of Cain's wife and other descendants was there to make mighty soldier. Okay? Mighty soldier. Okay, like the giant that David fought, Goliath. Goliath was from God. God, hard to pronounce the name. I believe it's G-A-D, God. That's where Goliath was from. Goliath was not the only giant there. Well, Goliath has four brothers, or three with him, because the Bible talks about four. Okay? But there were four like Goliath in his household. There were four giant sons of these fallen angels. My brother says, in God. But there were not only four in God. There was four in the house of Goliath. So that means there were thousands more in the whole city of God, because God was a city. I was watching today where God used to be, a video in the modern day, where it was the city of God. This Jewish couple who put up video on YouTube from Israel, they just put up a video a few weeks ago, a month ago, and I was watching it today from the city of God, where Goliath had four other brothers. But they were not the only people. There were thousands of other giants in the city of God. And that was close to the land of Israel. So in order for the children of Israel to conquer the land, as God told them, go Abraham, he was given the land as a possession, they would have to go to the city of God and defeat thousands of giants. But how can physically they defeat them unless God is fighting for them? So what God is showing to us is that everything that God has done with his people from the beginning has been supernatural, the supernatural power of God. We have seen it in the physical, or imagine the Bible in the physical, but when it's never been that way. The sacrifice instead of Isaac, God provided, according to Abraham. He said, Father, we got the donkey and the wood. But where is the sacrifice? But then he said, God will provide my son. See, God has been providing everything we need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus from the beginning of Genesis. Not just in the last day, not just a few thousands of years. God has been providing. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, yes, thank you for that. They are big, with big muscle, bigger than Shaq in the basketball player today. Yes, totally. Some of these guys were 90 feet, 30 feet, 40 feet, 20 feet. Okay? I don't know if you've seen, I had a page on YouTube, a video they posted, that some of these giants were over 100 feet, and they got the bones and body. There is a place in Europe where they're putting the bones on these giants. Okay? Over 100 feet giants. Okay? And when they read back the age, they were only a few thousand years ago. Not far ago. So the children of Israel fought these giants over 100 feet and defeat them. But how is the question? We as a Christian know that God fought for them. My brother and sister, supernaturally God fought for them. Hallelujah. What does that mean? That God has to fight for us. We have to depend on him to fight for us. We have to be in his presence, and we have to depend on him. We have to call upon his name. Whoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. But are we calling upon the name of the Lord? See, that's the question. Are we calling upon the name of the Lord? Because that's what the Lord wants each and one of us to do. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Very important. Hallelujah. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, and thy seed after thee in their generations. Every of his family And their generation will have to look forward to keeping God's covenant, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Now, we talked about Jezebel. Who was Jezebel? Jezebel could have been, or most likely, is between the blood of the fallen angel and the blood of a human. Let it be man or female, it was a mixed blood, okay? So her evil part was coming out of her, my blood, like Cain. Bible says he was of the evil one. So he had the mixed blood in him, demonic fallen blood. So the evil blood dominated the flesh. It dominated the good. And that's why he killed Abel. He killed the righteous. So Jezebel was the same against and they will worship other gods. And other gods are just fallen angels. There are books today, some will say thousands of books of fallen angels. They have their own books, like Nimrod. There's story about Nimrod. There's books about Nimrod. People have written books about him. The whole story that we don't even know in our Bible how much information there is about him. But in the Hebrew Bible, when they say he was a mighty one, some of the translation Brother Ben-Nun was explaining, Brother Ben-Nun was explaining that in the Hebrew, some of that mighty one, it's like when it was referred to Jesus, mighty God. Nimrod called himself a God, but under the little g, not the big G, not the capital G, little g, okay? He was a fallen God, fallen angel, but called himself God. And the things that he will do will have to be supernatural in order for people to follow him and listening to him. So he was like a God among them, but he was showing them that he was by his works, his action, Nimrod, my brother and sister. Okay, so there's so much about that a lot of people have studied. I don't go so much deep about fallen angel because they're just fallen angel. And one thing that the Lord was helping me understand, how the devil and the demon works. Give you an example. The devil, why there's an antichrist? Because everything these fallen angels do is opposite to what they were skilled to do, my brother and sister. And in another word, the demon of fornication, the reason why he provoked people to fornicate is because his gifting was to help people to stay together. You see? He was a blessing to marriage, an example, or to king, or to people. But now that he's falling, he's opposite, antichrist, remember? Okay? So they are opposite to their gifting. They were gifted to bless people, to help people. Now that they're falling, they're totally opposite to. Okay? Satan was very close to God as a sheriff in heaven. But when he was falling, now the Bible said through Ezekiel, he weakens the nations. Why do he weaken the nation? Because we all supposed to come to God in our relationship with him. But the sheriff, if you go into the Old Testament, they were in the tabernacle. The sheriff were there as the protection of the holiness of God. What does the devil lead people to do today? To, hallelujah, violate the holiness of God. Okay, instead of keeping it, because that's what he used to do. He used to be in there keeping the holiness of God. Now he doesn't keep it anymore. He breaks it. He leads people to break the holiness of God. My brother and sister. What did the Lord say about his holiness? Without holiness, no one will see the Lord, he says. Okay? With holiness, okay? Yes, thank you, Alpha Sister. That's Isaiah 14:12. Okay, how thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down from the ground, which did weaken the nations? Okay, so he, as he cut down, how do he weaken the nations? How do he make the nation weak? Because he lead people to break holiness. So what is holiness? Separation unto the Lord. No one wants to be separated unto the Lord, in other words. Very few people. But the nation don't look forward to being separated unto the Lord. On the contrary, they look forward to getting together to drink, to party, to fornicate, to do all this that break the holiness of the Lord. His gifting now is being used for evil. He was made to be used for good. Now is being made to be used for evil. My brother and sister. So it's become a curse to the people. My brother and sister. He become a curse. So by cursing the people through his ability, he is weakening the nations. But if there was no devil, normally fallen angel, if they're bound for 1,000 years, like he's going to be bound for 1,000 years, what happened? The nation now becomes strong. Okay? Because he said through Isaiah, there will be no wickedness, there will be no evil, saith the Lord, in my holy mountain. Okay? No wickedness, no evil, saith the Lord, in my holy. Nothing that will harm you, saith the Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, in my holy mountain. How is that possible? How can there be nothing that will hurt you in the millennium? Because the devil is not there to provoke the animal, to provoke the people, to do none of that, for them to begin to, hallelujah, forsaking holiness and righteousness. The millennium began with holiness and righteousness like you not even imagine. Hallelujah, the earth as the mountain of God is holy. And every all began in holiness unto the Lord. Everyone in the home have a personal relationship with God. Everyone in the home God is talking to. When God showed me this, I was like, wow. I was in the millennium. I was in my house in the millennium. I went in my bedroom to pray. But it was not like here. God was in the bathroom waiting for me. What? I went in my bedroom and it's where God, Father, was there already. And I began to talk with him. And he began to talk with me. He was right there next to me. In clear voice, my brother and sister, like having a loud speaker in your room. My brother and sister, like the priest heard him. And he said, God, yes, my son. And I was speaking, yes, my son. You asked me this, yes, my son. I will grant you this. Loud voice, clear voice of Father, right there in my bedroom. Talk, that will be beautiful if it's revealed this way. Sometimes when the Lord is in my room and he talks to me with an audible voice, when he's standing next to me, he opened my eyes, it's in there, and he's talking to me. That's the best day of my life when this happened. But having God every day in the millennium in my bedroom, and knowing that not only in my bedroom, in your bedroom, in everyone's bedroom in the millennium, in everyone's home, Father's there waiting for them to go into prayer with him. And this is like people say you're talking to God bathroom, in your bedroom, where you go to sleep, not the bathroom. He's there. And you go into your bedroom and you're talking to him. But not only me, everybody else is the same, my brother and sister. Everybody else, when they go into the house, Father's there. And we can all around the earth, millions and billions of people at the same time can be talking with Father and the Lord and the Holy Spirit at the same time. Different conversation with him. He's the Almighty. He's only presence. Be talking with him, my brother and sister, at the same time. And having totally different conversation with God, and God laughing and some directing you or telling you. Whatever you're asking him, he say, I grant it to you. They'll knock your door in 5 seconds, go open the door. And the angel brings you whatever he sends. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Yes, my daughter, that's for you. Yes, for you. It's for you, my son. You asked me for this? There it is. Thank you, Lord. It's like, have you ever heard of anything like this? Things that the eyes did not see or ears have not heard, that have not come to the mind, is the things that God has prepared for them that love him, the word of God says. You never heard of this. Hallelujah. It'll be faster than FedEx or UPS. Your thing is packaged faster than FedEx and UPS to your house. When he says in 5 seconds, they're knocking on your door, boom, boom, the engine's knocking on you in 5 seconds. Huh? For me? Well, you asked me for this. I granted it to you. Here. And the word says that before you ask, he already know. He'll answer you. Before you ask, you wanted a blue dress that looked like so beautiful like heaven, a color that you, with color you never seen on earth. Father, will you grant me the dress, you say, sister? Yes, my daughter, in 3 seconds, they're knocking on your door with the dress. Huh? Boom, boom, boom. God send you this dress. All bag, all beautiful. Ready for the occasion. That's how the millennium is, my brother and sister. What God has prepared for them that love him is unheard, is untold. There are things that I cannot tell you, or anybody can tell you, but the Lord, the things that God has for you. Hallelujah, in the years to come. My brother and sister, a few days ago when the Lord showed me the things that he would have for our lives if we walk in obedience, oh, my Lord, oh, my God, my brother and sister, he is so awesome. He is so great. Hallelujah. United Heaven Services. Amen. You'll love the millennium. You will love heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. You'll all have everything. God organizes everything. And if you... Hallelujah, get up in the morning and you need to do a work. You can go see Jesus early in the morning in Jerusalem. Some people that have not gone home in the rapture, but they came out of the Great Tribulation, or the valleys, they're coming down to the earth by billions, by millions. They have to take buses to go to there. Or you can carry them if you want, to go to Jerusalem to see Jesus face to face. Just like Jesus saw Abraham when he came with the two angels before he sent the angel to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But the Lord filled with Abraham, talking with Abraham. And Abraham said, well, thou destroy the righteous with the wicked. He was still there standing there. Beautiful Jesus, long hair. No, he wasn't long hair. But beautiful Jesus, blue eyes. Beautiful Lord. Standing with there with. Because the Lord showed me how he looked when he was called the angel of the Lord, okay? There was a thing they made of Jesus when he looked like the angel of the Lord, and Jesus showed me that he did, hallelujah, look like that. Let me see if I can find that image they made. Hallelujah, the angel of the Lord. Because Jesus showed me in heaven that he did look like that. And I said, wow, that's incredible. And one of the churches here in the United States, someone made a phone or wood or something of the angel of the Lord. Were very well made. Hallelujah. I believe it was one of the churches where Perry Stone was bringing a Bible study. They made an image of Jesus. When he will come as the angel of the Lord, how he looked, and the description was very well made. Because when I saw Jesus as the angel of the Lord in heaven, he turned to me as the angel of the Lord. I knew it was Jesus, my Lord, my God. That image they made was very well. It looked very well like him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Oh, I believe it was online. Thank you, Lord. I'm trying to see if I can find it so you have an idea. Hallelujah. No. I'm going to try to find it later on. I don't see it online now. They had it in that church. It was an image they made of the angel of the Lord. It looks like an older soldier. Amen. The prophetic artwork. Amen. Hallelujah. So, thank you, Lord. In the millennium, we have a lot of work to do, church. I tell you this right now. We have a lot of tasks to be done. God the Father will ordain these tasks for each and one of us that are coming down to the millennium. And we're coming down to do these tasks for God, and we must be committed to them, okay? And do it specifically how he will tell us to do them. So when you're talking to the Lord, ask him about them in the millennium. Make sure you stay in communion with God every day, and you ask him about these tasks, the hours, the time. It might be for 3 hours, for 4 hours, for 2 hours, I don't know. Once you do your task, then you can be with your family. You can go fishing if you want. You know, whatever you like to do, go plant flowers if you want. Pick up vegetable, pick up fruit, whatever you like to do, okay? You can go ahead and go worship with the, there will be temple in Jerusalem. We're worshiping all day and all night. The word will be taught in Jerusalem all day, all night, too. Just in Jerusalem, I saw this. The rest of the world will have, like, church services where Jesus will be the pastor teaching the word, or the preacher. He'll be the preacher coming to the churches and preaching the word. Yes, there will be horses, animals, lion, tiger, deers, all kinds of animals will be in the millennium. They will not harm. I said, no. In his word, no one will harm my holy mountain. Nothing will harm his people. That's the millennium, my brother and sister. Nothing will harm you in the millennium. In the millennium, you will enjoy everything God has made for you. The fruit, the vegetable. You can plant your tree, will have fruit right away next day. You can plant your vegetable, eat it next day right away. You don't have to wait a week. You don't have to wait a week. You don't have to wait a year. Once you plant your vegetable, once you put the seed in the ground today, tomorrow you can eat the full vegetable, full grown, ready to be eaten early in the morning. You can go and pick it up. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Now, to get to Jerusalem, there's no sea in between. Okay? The Bible says there will be no more sea. So you can take a bus directly to Jerusalem. You can take a car. There will be car. There will be bus. They will not be running on oil, on gas, or nothing that we know today. They will be running like in electricity. Give you an example. No contamination. You never, buses and carts in the millennium are better made than Tesla. You know how you have to charge the Tesla for them to run in the millennium? Once they're charged, they're never discharged. You can run them for 1,000 years nonstop, okay? Just to tell you how good the technology is for the millennium. It cannot be compared to anything you have down here now. They look similar, but everything runs for 1,000 years more. They'll never break down on you like we know as far, okay? A single power, what do they call it? Power bank or converter, okay, that you can run a house, an RV, or a building. A little one in the millennium can run an entire community. Quiet. They're like on quiet mode all the time. Over here, even when you put it on quiet mode, they still make noises. In the millennium, they're totally quiet. They're running. They're running the power. Let's say you need 350,000 watt to run the community. That little device will run that with no problem. You cannot overload with your AC on or your fridge and your stove and all that. None of that. No chemical. And they'll produce no chemical neither. I saw it. Hallelujah, my brother and sister. They just run quietly. They produce enough power for you to run your fridge, your stove, everything. With no problem. You'll never have any complaint in regard to anything made in the millennium. Okay? They will be trained in the millennium. Yes, I saw that. And I also saw they were running quietly too. Okay? Like if the trains are running, it's like no noise. But beautiful train also. I believe the pain in the millennium is like anti-mold and all that. Protection from mold, The rain will not fade the pain either. The pain stay beautiful also. In heaven, I know that the house, side of the house siding, because I used to work for a company out north selling house siding, doors, Anderson Doors Company. I used to work for them. They're somewhere, maybe in Texas, somewhere in the United States. I used to work for them out north. And they sell windows for homes, and they're awesome. Well, in the millennium, the material that they use in the millennium will not, the siding will not go back, do not fade away, do not break, nothing like that. I was able to touch the siding in heaven. I don't know how they make this stuff in heaven, but it's incredible. It doesn't age, it doesn't get old, nothing. Okay? It might be because of the air. It's pure. There's no contamination in the air, so, okay? No security camera in the millennium either. Okay? What I noticed in the millennium, people leave their home, like in heaven, their door, the front door open. Okay? A lot of times you see in the millennium, people, front doors that open. Okay? To me, it seems like people just are like to welcome people into the house. Okay? Now, also what I noticed in the millennium, the Lord gives everyone their land. So, like the people that give their tithe, give their offering, that are faithful to the Lord. Okay? No, I didn't see no animal talking in the millennium. Like in the first heaven, I didn't see no animal talking. In the third heaven, third planet, animals do speak. That I saw. I'm not even sure they talk on the third heaven, second planet. I'm not even sure they do yet. I haven't seen that. Okay? I haven't seen that in the millennium. Okay? I don't think they talk in the millennium. It might be for the new earth and new heaven, the last, when the new Jerusalem comes down after the millennium. That may be when they will talk on earth again like it was in the garden, my brother and sister. Now, the rules are made by the angels and the redeemed. They bring machines into the millennium, and they make all the rules perfect, aligned, straight. Most of our roads are up and down and sideways and curved. Very few curved, mostly straight. I could travel from the United States all the way to the island, Dominican Island, and the millennium. I did that in a car. So 1957 Chevy, it looks to me. I was able to drive a car from the United States all the way to the Dominican and not stop for gas or anything. It just ran quiet, smooth. Oh, my Lord. I tell you, the millennium is going to be incredible. Smooth and quiet. The tire seems to me like be the same, but I'm sure very well better material. Okay, 1957 Chevy. Not 67, 57. Yeah, 57, 58, 59 were awesome. Okay, great car, okay? And I went to the Dominican in that car. I drove to the Dominican. Okay, there's so much in heaven. Again, remember the other day was revealed to me the animal, the horses. They can be pink, purple, pink, purple. Okay, original by the Lord, by God. He'll give you that as a gift. That's part of some people's reward. I have two horses in the millennium that I see. Awesome animal. They came running to me. I even thought one of the horses was going to knock me down because he is so large and so big, and he was running straight to me. And like, am I going to have to get out of the way because he's going to run me over or he's going to knock me down? But no, he didn't. He didn't. He came running, broom, 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 really fast, straight to me. And like, and I'm standing there. I still have, remember, I'm still on earth, my earthly body. So you still got that thinking even when you're in heaven, like, remember when I saw a lion in heaven, and I was kind of like, should I get close to it? You know by knowledge that nothing can harm you in heaven, but can you still trust it in this body? No. You will have to be out of the body 100%. Somehow, even if you're in heaven in spirit, your spirit is still connected to this body. So you still have that feeling of, should I trust it? Should I be careful? Should I, you know, you still question all that. Okay? So I was like, okay. So he came and he was gentle. Actually, big horse, okay? I'm 6'3", and the horse was bigger than me. And he was gentle with me. I'm like, I hug him. I'm like, wow, big animal, beautiful, gentle. He knew me. He knew I was his owner. Like, he was been waiting for me, waiting to see me. He was very excited to see me, this horse. He didn't talk to me or nothing, but I knew in the Lord. God just gives you this knowledge of things in heaven. Okay? And there was a sister there, and I know her from the Lord Jawa. She was in heaven. She had these horses, and she was so happy. We were neighbors. I hope we all can keep neighbor on the Lord Tower in heaven, my brother and sister. That's incredible. But some of us who has family, previous family, who went to be in with the Lord in heaven, a lot of family in heaven have their own community. God gives them their own community. And they're known in that community. Like, an example, where's the Zapata family community? They can show you what that community is. It's not like there's a division in heaven. It's that everything is given to you by sometimes by last name of the family. Those are the family that God gave them that piece of land or that part of the community and belongs to them. And that's how you can go see your community, your families. It's family like God meant it from the beginning. Stick together. There's no division like on earth. One lives in the United States, other one lives in Canada or in Australia or in France or in Germany. No, none of that nonsense. God keeps family together in heaven, as he meant it from the beginning. Everybody's happy. Everybody's joyful. It's all about, God is about family. He loves to keep people together. Hey, tell me the truth. Like, some family gets together in Christmas down here, and they are able to enjoy one another and spend their time and all that. Okay? And they really love it and enjoy it. I saw no trailer park in heaven, no. I haven't seen that, neither in the millennium. I've seen regular homes, yes, okay? And people are happy, peaceful. I did saw, like, downtown community in the millennium. Certain place will be downtown community where you can go and sit down and drink a cup of juice with someone and just talk and, you know, I don't think I saw coffee in the millennium. I don't think there's no coffee in the millennium. But people, they sit down together and talked about the Lord and their life or what God had done for them. And it's enjoyable. Remember that restaurant I walked to? It was like a downtown. In the millennium, I was able to go into this restaurant. Some reason God let me in there, sat down, and I saw people ordering food and sitting down to eat. So I wanted to do the same. And when I ordered, somehow I was thinking, well, I need to pay these people. You know, it's like me going to a restaurant now. I like to check if I have my wallet, because sometimes you can leave your house without your wallet. Like, or do I have my credit card? Do I have, you know, those are thinking you have in your mind. So when I was there, I'm like, do I have any money on me? Let me check my pocket. So I'm checking my pocket, and the girl that was taking the order said, what would you like to have? And I'm like, she's waiting for me to tell her what I wanted. And again, I have not seen the menu yet, but there was like a menu on top of me, a big menu there, where I could see what I wanted. But it was like, I believe she said, we have a special today. But when I said, okay, I want to have the special. What is the special? When she tells me what it was, yeah, I would like to have that. But here's the thing. The special was like a meal that I love. Okay? Oh, the special of the house. You know how in some restaurant they cook the special of the day or of the week. But the special what the chef chooses or the owner, whatever. And they said, well, we're going to just have the soup and this and that. No, in the millennium, the special was what you love. And then you'll be surprised. Oh, the special that we have for today is this, is not. Like, oh, that's what I love. That's the special of the day for you today. Okay? So if you love noodle soup, chicken soup, whatever it is that you love, you'll be surprised when they say to you, oh, the special of the day is noodle soup for you today. Huh? That's what I had in mind. That's the special of the day. That's what I had in my mind to eat today. Exactly. Imagine a place where everything that you love to have is exactly what is given to you. That's the millennium. Okay? That's the millennium. Whatever you love to have. How is heaven? Heaven is the dream of your heart. The thing that you don't even know that you love so much is being given to you by your Father in heaven when you get there. Okay? And if you love your soup hot, it will be smoking hot when they bring it to you. And you're not going to complain because it's going to have in there what you love. You love spicy, the spicy in your soup. Okay? Jalapenos. And you're like, oh, these are spicy, but they taste great. Exactly. They're going to give you what you love. And if these are the things you love, that's what you're going to receive. Hallelujah. Asparagus, esophagus. Okay? They'll give you that there, and you'll be so happy there. And everyone is so welcoming. Amen? And you can talk to people. Okay? Some occasion, I even went to the police in the millennium. The police in the millennium is of the Lord. They work for Jesus. Okay? And I went to one of the police building in the millennium. I walked, I talked to some of the officers in the building in the millennium, my brother and sister. And again, they're there to keep the order. But they're fair. They're not like, oh, we're going to shoot you. None of that nonsense. Then they don't abuse the system. It's the system of the Lord. And you will be told the things that you have to keep. And if you study the Bible through Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, in the book of Revelation said that he will run like a rabid lion. And the meaning of that is very strict to the law. Like, if you break the law, you're under arrest. If you are caught stealing, if you are caught, like I've seen cases, prostitution, you are under arrest for that, okay? And it's like if you do prostitution, like in the Old Testament, if you break one of the law, you're responsible for all of them. But if you're caught doing prostitution in the millennium, you will be charged for that. And I didn't see people being taken to the jail for that. I mean, I'm sorry, to court for that. It's that the charge, because the Lord is running the millennium, okay? The charges immediately. Are you are caught in prostitution. And let's say you say, well, do you have any witness? They will always have the proof against you. If you were doing it, there's always someone who saw it. There's always a proof. There's just no way you can say, well, you didn't see me doing it. Where's your proof? Okay? Out of his mouth goes forth a sharp sword, with a show his might the nation. She ruled them with a rod of iron. He threatened the winepress of the fierceness of wrath almighty. Okay? So the proof is always there. Okay? I was looking at the two officers, the two serving officers. They were arresting this woman or this man because, let's say about the men that were making alcohol. They were making alcohol in the millennium. And they were being arrested. And the charge immediately was there. It's not like you have to go see the judge to prove that you're guilty. No, you are guilty on the spot because the proof is right there. And it's a shameful thing. People are like, it's a shameful thing. But immediately the punishment is declared right there, and the person goes to jail, whatever the punishment it is. Okay? And so, and it's all in the Word if you careful study. When Jesus talked about the reward, if you keep a servant, if you give a prophet a cup of water, you will be rewarded. That's how the millennium is. So when the servant served me the meal and I'm looking to pay, no. Sir or brother, however, don't worry about you are servant of the Lord. The Lord will reward us for serving you. So it's not like, sir, I don't know you, or sir, where you come from, nothing like that. in the millennium because we have the mind of Christ. Okay? My brother and sister, we each know each other. Okay? It's like immediately when you're talking to someone, you immediately know she's a servant of the Lord. He's a servant of the Lord. He's this and that in God. He's a minister. He's a preacher. Whatever you are known by God, you will be known by in the millennium in heaven. Okay? Immediately. Preachers are held to a higher standard in heaven when they, or prophet, when they do the word of God. People respect them. People love them because they know God loves his servants because we're dedicating our life to do this, to preach his word. And it takes a lot from us. It takes a whole life. And they know the cost of it. And they appreciate it. When I gone to heaven, people have really welcomed me and tell me how blessed I am for doing what I'm doing for the Lord. My brother and sister, even on earth, the Lord would touch people's heart and let them know he's my servant. He's, you know, and people will bless me. People will give me a donation. So people say, here. I got invited to Hawaii with pay hotel and everything. And all I did was pray for someone's son to be blessed. And the man said, you're a man of God, I can tell. I'll come to my hotel. Pay up. It's pay. Don't worry. Say, oh, thank you. I didn't even know the person. My brother, God touches the heart of people when you do his will, and they'll bless you. They just bless you, people that you don't even know. Not necessarily being Christian. They just, God touches their heart. No, that's my servant. Bless them. And God blesses them for that. This is the incredible thing. Whoever blesses us, like whoever give us a cup of water, God rewards them for that. Sometimes it happens immediately, or in the same week or in the same day. Person receives a reward from God, my brother and sister. So he's just so incredible to us. My brother, there's nothing that you will give to the Lord that you will not be rewarded for. You can give God your age, your time, your breath, my brother, your energy. As he said, love the Lord, your heart or your soul. All your strength. You give to God everything. God will reward for every single thing you give to him. There's no way anything will go unnoticed for him. Angels are keeping memory of everything you're doing. And specifically, you'll be rewarded in heaven. Things that you have forgotten will be brought. There's nothing hidden that will not be brought to light, is what it said. Now, if God can reward the wicked for their sin when they refuse to repent and punish them, can you imagine his servant, how great reward he'll give to them? Because the things that you have forgotten in heaven, in the millennium, will be brought to light. They say, oh, my servant, you remember when you helped my servant or when you did this for me, the Lord will say. You're like, Lord, but I did this for you out of my heart. I was expecting, no, my daughter. Did not my word say that I will reward you according to thy works? Here. And you cannot refuse his love for you. He's doing that in love because he loves you. And he promised he will reward you. He will reward you according to everything you have done for him. The hard time that you have praying, when he asks you to pray, he will reward you for that. When he asks you to pray for someone, and it took you time and rebuking demons, he will reward you for that. You think that you're losing time? No. You're gaining time. All that will be rewarded for you for eternity. And eternity, God will continue to reward you. He said, God, but you already have rewarded me. He said, no, my daughter. Our reward will continue for you forever. Every single thing you're doing for God will be reminded you in eternity that you have done that for God. And to every city and country you will walk into, they will be told the things you did for the Lord, and they will be rejoicing and pleased you did that for God. Nothing that you're doing will be forgotten, but everything that you're doing will be remembered, even the things that you're doing in secret for the Lord. Hallelujah. They will sound the trumpet. You do it in secret in heaven, they will sound the trumpet. Hallelujah. They'll find the sound of shofar. You're like, why are they doing this? Because you did that for him. He's sounding the trumpet for you now. It's incredible, my brother and sister. That's why people rejoice so much in heaven and praise God so much in heaven, because there's nothing forgotten in him. The devil wants to make it seem to people like they're wasting their time. Oh, that's a lie. Don't believe the devil. Everything you give unto the Lord, he'll give you back 100% or more in the world to come, he says. Nothing will be forgotten. You will lose nothing in the Lord. And the moment you think you're losing, because there's a memory recorded, your blessing will be multiplied. Whatever it costs you to serve the Lord, oh, you had no idea the reward is going to give him back to you. My brother and sister, if a cup of water is remembered by God, the hair on your head are counted by him. And he knows exactly how many hair you have. You cannot even imagine the beautiful hair women have in heaven. You never have to comb your hair anymore. I saw angels combing the hair of God's servants in heaven. At one time I was taking, over 12 years ago I remember, I was talking to the Lord about the things that I was going through. And I remember that night when the Lord took me out of my body straight to heaven. He took me straight to the servant's house. I was outside his house, across the street from him in heaven. And I can see angel was serving him. These angels were made to serve him. They were combing his hair. They were helping him put on his suit. And you may say, was he handicapped? Why was the angel helping him with everything? Because God will reward the angel for the service they were giving this man. Who was this man? This man was a great preacher of the Lord on earth. He preached his word all his life until he aged very well aged. My brother and sister, I believe over 100. And when he died and went to heaven being with the Lord, because he spent all his single days serving the Lord on earth, hallelujah, greatly, with great detail, pray, fast, everything, great detail, just serving Jesus, gave his entire life to Jesus. When he went to be into heaven, now in heaven, they were God assigned angels to serve him. In his mansion, every single thing he needed, the angels served him. And the angels were very pleased to serve this man of God. They were combing his hair. They were helping him put on his shirt. When he wanted to put on the shirt, he liked from his closet. And he said, no. We're here to serve you. And they were doing it for God. Angels were happy because they were doing it for God. And I called the man out of his house and said, may I speak with you? Yes. And I asked him, why was he being served this way? And he explained to me why. Everything you do for him, he will repay you 100-fold. He began to explain to me the word of God. Exactly what I'm telling you tonight. There's nothing that you will give to God in this life that you will not be rewarded for 100 times more and in the life to come. Everything you do for the kingdom, you will be rewarded for. Yes, it will cost you on the earth to do things for God. But every energy, every effort, every desire, God even looks at the desire of your heart if you dare it to please him. Whatever you do, if you do it to please him, if it costs you, for everything you do, you will be rewarded for 100 times more plus in heaven and in eternity goes beyond, my brother and sister. Even if you get a back pain from praying, if your bone, if your feet hurt for you leaning on the floor to pray or laying on the floor to pray, if it hurts, you will be rewarded for the pain you're suffering. For everything you suffer, the pain in your bone, the pain on your neck, you will be repaid for that for all eternity. All you will say is, Father, I worship thee. I thank you, merciful God, because you have not forgotten nothing I've done for you. Nothing will be forgotten. The little things that you think are so little, that had no value, that God will not remember, will not be forgotten. My brother and sister in heaven, God knows everything you're doing for him. The intention, if you're doing it in love, hallelujah. Blessed are the merciful, Jesus. My brother and sister, thank you, Jesus. I want to finish reading to you Matthew 5 to remind you that God doesn't forget anything. And seeing the multitude, he went out to the mountain. And when he was set, his disciple came unto him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they the hunger, a thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say manners of evil things against you, falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophet who were before you. Hallelujah. Ye are the soul of the earth. But if the soul hath lost its favor, whereby shall it be salted? Henceforth good for nothing, but to cast out and to be thrown under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men, hallelujah, do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but under the candlestick, to give a light unto all that are in the house. Amen. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father who is in heaven. Think now that I come to destroy the law and the prophet. I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. For I verily say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle shall any wise pass from the law till it be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and to teach them so, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, Lord. For I say unto you that unless your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say the fool shall be in danger of the hell fire. Therefore, if thou shalt bring thy gift to the altar, in the remembrance that any thy brother have out against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and make the gift. Agree with thy adversary quickly, while thou art on the way with him. Lest any time the adversary deliver thee to judge, then the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast in prison. Verily, I said unto thee, thou shalt be no mean come and hence, until thou have paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by then of old, thou should not commit adultery. But I said unto you, whosoever looked of a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in the heart, and if the right eyes causes thee to fall, plunge it out and cast it from thee. For it's profitable for thee that no one of thy members should be perished, that now thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand causes thee to fall, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish. Now, not thy the whole body should be cast into hell. It has been said, whosoever should put away his wife, let him give her a writing a divorce. But I say unto you, whosoever should put away his wife, except for the cause of fornication, causing her to commit adultery, whosoever should marry her, that divorce be committed adultery. Hallelujah. Again, ye have heard that it's been said by then of all time, that thou should not forswear thyself, but should perform to do unto the Lord an oath. I will say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven nor by God's thrones, nor by the earth, nor for it is a footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither should thou swear by the head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whosoever more than these commit of evil, cometh from evil. Ye have not heard that have said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I said unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee in thy cheek, to turn him to the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him thy hallelujah, cloth also. And whosoever should compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him and ask, hallelujah, give to him that ask thee, and for him that will borrow thee, turn not away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thy enemy. But I said unto you, love your enemy, bless them that curse you, be good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Ye may be the children of God, your Father who is in heaven, for he maketh his sun arise on evil and on good, sendeth the rain and the just on the unjust. For as ye love them that love you, reward how ye do not even the Republican do the same. But as ye salute your brother only, what is you more than other? Do not even to the Republican also. Be ye there perfect as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. God is perfect and demands perfection for you and I. We cannot be like God unless we ask Jesus to help us to be like our Father, perfect. The same calling that God made to Abraham to be perfect to all his seed, which are you and I, in the sense of faith, are being called also to be perfect. Perfect is to love like God loves, to have mercy like God loves. If you can do that, my brother and sister, you are perfect in the Lord. We need to be perfect like God. May God help us to be perfect like him. Join us on Tuesday night for another Bible study. Our Bible study got interrupted last week. I apologize. But God willing, this Tuesday we'll go back to our Bible study again. I hope Sister Carla and them will be back on Wednesday, Brother Body back on Friday, and then after that I'll be back on Sunday, God willing. My brother and sister, I hope this Bible study has blessed your life. May the Lord keep you. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord Jesus Christ give you his shalom. Shalom, shalom to each of my brothers and sisters. Blessings to all of you.
Of scenery in your life, and now the mountain shall be removed.
and hindrances shall be removed, and things are turning even now, for the goodness of God shall be manifested. So lift up your hands and lift up your eyes, for the glory of God shall be revealed, and there shall be an increase measure that shall come upon you, and you'll shake off the dust of the past and arise and shine, for the glory of God shall be revealed, and I'll dress you up in some new clothes, says the Lord, and give you access to my presence, and you'll enter into a new day, for I have turned your captivity, and now your mouth is filled with laughter.
The day, and now is the time, and this is the place, and I'll no longer look back, and I'll no longer wonder when, but I'll declare now is the time, and the Spirit of God shall work in my house, and in my family, and in my children, and in my address, not someplace else, but in my house, and the Spirit of God shall rest upon me, so you can declare it and shout it out loud. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice.
Even when
for the
I don't see
you
it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Never stop. You never stop. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when
that seems so far away and seems so big, and now they've come and they're here today. No longer wondering when or wondering how, but now declaring by my Spirit and by my power, it shall surely come to pass. The things that I've planned and the things that I've purposed, saith the Lord, they shall surely come to pass. And now is the time, and this is the day, and by my Spirit I'm making the way, and by my Spirit you'll begin to rejoice, and you'll begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day, for I'll cause you to go forth into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction, for I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy, for this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply, for times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, and I will pour.